You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where, of course, we talk about the Indiana Pacers as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News, and today we're looking at the Miami Heat. What? This is Locked On Pacers. We've already talked about the series a lot. What could I possibly be talking about? Well, I want to talk about the NBA Finals at the end of the show just a little bit. You know, just covering the finals is fun. Actual basketball games are happening, and I want to talk about it. But really, me and Adam have had this muse for a show idea in the past, and I want to do it while the Heat are still alive and playing, about how getting swept in that series, yes, the Pacers got swept, how it actually could be good for their future. Does that sound insane? Yes, it does. But that's something we got to break down. So that's what we're talking about for two segments today. So yeah, the Pacers got swept by the Heat. And in the moment, and honestly for a long time, that will look embarrassing, right? Even if the Heat... So that's a point of this actually being good. I'm putting air quotes. Every time I say good for the rest of the show, it's in air quotes. But the Heat are in the finals now. That looks a lot less embarrassing in retrospect just on that. But, you know, it was embarrassing at the time. And for the future of the Pacers, it'll look back as 4-0 and always seem embarrassing, but really I think it's going to end up being a good thing for the core of this team and the future of the organization. And I have four reasons why, so we're going to just run through them. The first one is the big one, and the one that most people sell, you know, Pacers Twitter and Pacers fandom is not the same thing, but Pacers Twitter widely celebrated the McMillan firing, and 4-1 maybe, but I kind of doubt it. If the Pacers don't get swept, I kind of think they keep him. Even though McMillan said, you know, before the season, the reporting was that he said, if I can't get this team out of the first round, maybe I'm not the right guy for the job. But the Sabonis injury, I thought, you know, there was no way they were going to win. I said Heat in six. If it's Heat in five, and most people predict, you know, not that the Pacers care about predictions, but, you know, they're not stupid. They clearly look at realistic expectations for a series. You know, if they lose in five instead of six, you know, maybe they just go whatever injuries and they hold on to their coach. So that's the first way where this could be a blessing in disguise for the Pacers, is it allows them to move on to the next era of head coach. Now that could be a bad thing, right? If the coach doesn't fit well, if it's someone who isn't ready to take a team to where the Pacers want to be, then it could be a bad thing. But you know, the lapse of, or the going from era to era with the next coach, especially for a lot of people that think that's the right move, including the organization, because they did it, right? It could be a good thing that they got swept and were forced to make that decision and could look to a coach that can run the modern offense that Kevin Pritchard wants and can communicate on the level of these players and get the most out of them in a playoff setting. Because, you know, losing in the first round the last year of the PG era, Nate's first year, no big deal. They were way worse than the Cavs. Going to seven with LeBron the next year looked great, but ever since then, the playoffs have just been a complete disaster for the organization. Everyone, players, coaches, front office even, has to look in the mirror at that point too. So that is number one. It gets your coach fired, and it makes you look in the mirror. And Kevin Pritchard said this too, right? He said, I'm going to look at every department and figure out how we can do better everywhere, because they have to. They can't get swept again. And if that trickles down to the players, if that means, you know, they, you know, if they add another talent to the front office or the analytics team or the research team or the training staff, whatever, you know, any of that kind of ancillary stuff beyond even the coach, if their playoff failure makes them reflect on that, that's a win. The other thing, and this one's shorter and I brought it up at the beginning, this is the second one that I wanted to talk about in this segment, is doesn't look that bad anymore. I mean, the Heat obviously look amazing, and this isn't necessarily like good for the future outlook of the Pacers necessarily, but like with losing to the Cavs in 2017 and 2016, really, you lost to the team that goes to the finals, you know? And no one blames you for, like, losing to the Celtics last year, they lost in the next round. So everyone, you know, they got swept by a team that couldn't move on past that the next round. You know, that was embarrassing, more so than this year and the two LeBron years, where it's like they lost to the best team in the conference and the Heat rolled over everybody, right? They figured it out how to maximize their roster. They figured out a scheme that East teams couldn't solve, and they just ran through the East. And after losing 4-0, everybody said, oh, wow, how terrible for the Pacers. You know, these injuries were killer. They need to figure something out. Well, maybe it's just that, you know, the Bucks were one of the best regular season teams ever, and they lost in five. I mean, Giannis got hurt, but they lost in five. And then the Celtics were also really good all playoffs long, and they made it six, but, they, you know, it was close to being five. Like, the Heat might just be really good, and getting swept is, again, embarrassing and bad, but, you know, they were in a lot of those games. I think that they fought with a team that's looking like the second best team in the league for sure. And it's pretty crazy that the McMillan era, that he lost to the team that made the finals in 3 out of 4 years. I think that's pretty crazy. But that's not, you know, that's not actually good for the organization that they lost and got swept, or that it looks better. It's just an addendum thought on getting swept. But there are two other points that are actually legitimately good, probably at least, for the team that I want to talk about. But we got to talk about two lovely groups of people first. The first one are the people at Rock Auto, because they have the most reliably low prices of any online auto parts distributor. Chain stores have different prices for, you know, people of different knowledge levels about their car. But RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and again, always reliably low. They're a family business who've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. If you go to rockauto.com, you can shop for anything from hundreds of manufacturers. Their catalog is super easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts for your vehicle that you'll need. And again, best of all, their prices are always low. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. And I also want to talk to you guys about Built Go, because Built Go is going to help you break through your wall, whatever that may be. I've talked to you guys about this before. Built Go, they make energy gels, and they're really good and really delicious, and they're good at helping you, you know, advance to the next thing in your life. A physical wall, mental wall, whatever it is, you can get through it. I, like I said, am training for a 5K, and these I'm going to go for my run right after I record this. Going to eat a Built Go right before then. I'm going to try the chocolate coconut today. I haven't tried it yet, but they have three flavors: chocolate coconut, chocolate mint, and peanut butter honey. It's like 5-hour energy without the crash feeling. It's really awesome, and it's natural, so it's better for your body. Best workout gel on the market. It combines protein and fast-absorbing gel, so it gets into your system quickly. It's really good for igniting me, and it's delicious. So why would you not want to try it? Go to BuiltGo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED, all one word. You'll get $20 off your next order using that promo code LOCKED for $20 off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. So really, that first segment about how getting swept could actually help the Pacers. The coach getting fired is a good thing. It not looking as bad anymore, it's not actually a good thing, but, you know, maybe fans can take some solace. Now, these two things in this segment are actually both good things that could have benefits on the Pacers roster and organization long term. The first one that I have written, well, this is really the third one. The third one here is I have get real about the roster, right? And something I harped on all season long prior to the playoffs is that I was excited about. You know, a lot of the times it's when I had guests on who cover other teams, but I talked about how seeing Turbonis in the playoffs is going to be really helpful for the future of the Pacers, because they can say, okay, this does not work, or this does work, this can work, whatever. Unfortunately, they didn't get to see that. But I think what we did see is that Miles Turner played pretty well for the last three games of that series. He was atrocious in game one, and the first half of game two isn't great, but he played pretty well in, let's say, 2.75 out of the four games. And in the rest of the bubble, he was also pretty good. And he switched roles very quickly from what he's used to what he played in the bubble. He played pretty well, and it's not this reductive, but some of the reason he was able to play well is because he was the only center. He didn't have to deal with, you know, it's harder for him to do some of the athletic maneuvers he's capable of and drive to the basket with his shot fake and even go inside the three-point line at all. And we also saw all season long, and this is regular season again, so this isn't, you know, the Pacers want to be a playoff team. Regular season stuff isn't the most important, but it's still very important to do well in the regular season, get a good seed, and see whether that translates to the playoffs. Sabonis with the bench units in the regular season were super awesome, and like one of the best units in basketball. And the reason that is important, as well as Turner with the starters, as well as Sabonis closing games by himself, is we've seen many times throughout the season in various anecdotal circumstances, hey, one center is probably better than playing two for heavy minutes. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. It was a worthy experiment, and it was going well enough that you could pursue on with it, even if the Pacers do it again next year, or you could try in the playoffs to go, I want to see how this works, right? It's an experiment. But I actually think, you know, even though we didn't actually see Turbonis for big minutes in a playoff setting, we saw it a little bit in the Celtics series. I don't know if they played together against the Cavs in 2017. We did see it a little bit in that Celtics series last year, and it wasn't great, and Al Horford really sunned both of those guys. We didn't get to see it at all this year, so perhaps this era will be defined by not actually seeing what it could do at the highest level. But, you know, I think that it's clear from even Turner playing well for an extended time and being able to have some freedom that one center is going to be better for their future. And, you know, some insiders and league people have done some source reporting that Turner could be on the move at some point. And I think that is the first evidence of Kevin Pritchard in the front office having to really get real about this team and what can come forward. And I think getting swept by the Heat's part of that. They say, okay, we have to find a way to get more talent. And even if Turner playing at lone center uses his talent better, they know that having one center maximizes the roster, and trading one of those young, talented bigs for a much better fitting either guard or forward will A, improve the roster, and B, improve the fit, which, you know, is a tenfold improvement. Not really tenfold, you know what I mean? A big improvement, right? So that's getting real. They can finally say, okay, this works fine, but this is not good enough to be where we want to be, right? They're spending a lot of money on Herb Simon is spending a lot of money on this roster. They can't accept first-round losses, or this era is going to end quickly. So I know that the team has to think about getting real and how can they improve and win rounds and make a deeper playoff run. This sweep's gonna kick them in the can and make them do it. And I, you know, they have injuries as a fallback to say, okay, we think the team we've built can be better than 04. That's fine. But, you know, the bench was atrocious too. And Jeremy Lamb, for as much as I've had to say good things about him on this podcast, because he gets slandered all the time, he would not have been enough to make their bench better. And their bench was so good in the regular season. Sure, no Sabonis in the playoffs, but McConnell was borderline unplayable. McDermott, 2 years in a row, not a good playoff player. They need to improve their bench. They might need to move on from Turner to get better fitting parts. Maybe they need to swap around pieces in lineups and rotations, which involves, you know, various moves or whatever. They have to look at this 0-4. And like I said, I think a lot of this series, and one of my takeaways was, even if you're high on the roster or the future of the team, you have to point at someone and say, someone needs to look in the mirror and say, okay, our approach is wrong, we have to change it. And I think Kevin Pritchard, by firing the coach and saying the things he did in his postgame presser, are acknowledging that. And I think that that means he's getting real about this team. He knows what the talent level truly is. He knows what he has to do to make it better and be at the point again where it can match the level of pay they're spending on this team. So that's one thing. Is this, if they didn't get swept, you know, if they made it to my prediction, if they made it to Heat in six, they could say, well, we were hurt. You know, we have a good enough group. Let's run it back. Let's go for this. But I think that deep down, even as much as I talked about it, didn't make sense to move on from the two center pairing this season, and you know, I rattled off the net ratings. It's pretty good. It makes sense to roll with it. But I think deep down, everybody knew that the best move is to move on from it, and it's time. So now that he has to get real, Kevin Pritchard has to get real about the roster. If it's not a drastic change, sure, like I just said, it makes some sense to try to run it back and say we didn't have a chance. But I think the better move for the team is, you know, the drastic moving on from the two centers. And the other drastic move they might make is the other thing about this Heat series that might be a blessing for the Pacers, that getting swept might be for the Pacers. It might accelerate the Depot timeline. How is that good? Great question, listener. I almost just said young listener, and I don't think any of our listeners are young. But anyway, I said accelerate the Depot timeline, and I mean that in the context of the team because, you know, if getting swept means Depot immediately goes, you know, he's talked about his priorities being winning and money. So now if they get swept and he says, okay, I can't win here, at least that happens now much earlier than in the middle of next season or at the end of next season. So they have more time to gather trade offers, to gather info from him about what's coming next. And so they can have more info to assess the situation. And then, of course, if they are gathering trade offers now, they could possibly extract more value for him if the deal comes instead of having to scramble at the trade deadline or something like that. So I think that, you know, the rumor already came out from The Athletic. I think that this accelerates the Depot timeline somewhat. Maybe not necessarily that they have to do something, but that something could be discussed and brought to light and forced to be a conversation piece for the team and Depot and people around the league to think about. So I think that's another benefit of getting swept. You know, if they lose in six or seven, even Depot himself could say, okay, maybe this roster is the right one for, well, the Heat are in the finals, and there are rumblings, you know, that the Heat are one of Depot's teams that he could want to go to, which if he wants to win, he could look at that and go, that's the one, get me there. But he doesn't have a choice. He's under contract right now. But anyway, if they make it to six or seven, maybe he could say, okay, we were injuries away. We could have beat that team. And even if they were in the finals, you know, if he thinks they could beat that team, that could get him thinking about staying and keep him on the fence, which does, you know, obviously him staying would be good. He has all-star potential when he's healthy. And we have yet to see if that happens. But when he does get to full health, we'll find out. But, you know, it could make it harder for him to think about his future and harder for the team to think about trading him. Whereas now, if they do it, there's merit to it. It makes some sense and things like that. And the other thing, and this is blending two of the points, is the coaching hire, if it's someone that Depot loves, could entice him to stay. And they wouldn't have fired their coach, nor realized they could mend some Depot relationship. And I mean that as if there's a strain. I don't know if there is one, but say there is one, you know, if they hire the right coach and it entices him to stay a little bit more, then all of a sudden you have two benefits combined into an extra benefit of you made Depot happier by getting swept by making him go, oh, we got a coach that I think I can win with now. Great, you know, awesome. The injuries are the case last season, but now that we have the right guy, I think we can do well. So there are a lot of reasons that, you know, losing the series would have been bad either way. I think we all knew that they were going to, but getting swept was embarrassing in the moment, but it might end up, really all these can be summed up as, it might force, and I've said this exact phrase 1,000 times in this podcast, it might force everyone to get real and look in the mirror and go, okay, what are we doing wrong with our approach and our process? Because we're building a good regular season team, but again, we're not spending a lot of money to be a regular season team. We want to win series. What can we do better? So they got swept, and that's terrible, and that sucks, and we'll have to see how it translates for them, but maybe it'll have some tiny ancillary benefits. We'll see. But I'm going to take one more little break and talk to you guys about one of my favorite products before we talk about the finals for just a little bit. And that product that I've talked to you guys about so many times is the lovely people over at Built Bar. They make the best protein bars ever. They're 100% covered in chocolate and soft and easy to chew. They're great for the health conscious guy, which is why I like them so much. They sent them to me and they're delicious. My favorite flavor was the mint brownie, but there are a bunch of good ones. But just for some stats here, they're low calorie, high sugar, high protein, so great for any kind of keto diet. And again, they're really good. 180, for example, the peanut butter one, 19 grams of protein, yet only 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar and 5 grams of net carbs. So they're just delicious. You got to check out Built Bar. If you go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, you'll get $20 off your next order. And right now, Built Bar is working on, they're running a promo for breast cancer awareness. So they're doing a limited time strawberry flavor you can go check out, $12 off through October 12th. And they're partnering with a bunch of breast cancer charities that you can donate to on their site, and they'll match all those donations. So again, go check out builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKDOWN. You'll get 20% off at builtbar.com. Talking finals on Locked On Pacers. And so far in my 3.5 years doing this podcast, every time talking finals, Pacers aren't in it, haven't sniffed it, but it's always fun to talk about actual basketball games. And you know, something we've done twice in different little strategies is me and Adam talked about, okay, the teams in the conference semis, what do they all have in common that the Pacers can learn from? And then in the conference finals, Adam did it, you know, okay, the teams that advanced, you know, what about them is sticking out that the Pacers can learn from? I don't necessarily want to stick to that blueprint again. I think we've already done that. But there are a couple Pacers-related ways I'll bring this to the Pacers. But I really just want to talk about the series. I think it's an interesting one. I picked Lakers in six myself. I tweeted it out for full despair, or for full whatever, just so everybody could know, and I could get dunked on if I was wrong. However, I was very wrong about a lot of playoff predictions. But anyway, this one's looking good so far. Lakers up 3-1. Series could be over tonight. But really, you know, it's been so interesting to me because a lot of the talk before the series, and I think this is something that we can apply to the Pacers, although I didn't mean to, is, okay, the Lakers have the best two players, 1 and 2. How many of the next 8 or so of the rest of the top 10 do the Heat have? And the answer varied from 6 to 8, right? You know, maybe you could sneak KCP or Danny Green or Caruso into the top 10 players in the series, but between, you know, Jimmy and Bam and Dragic and Crowder and all these guys, yeah, you know what? The Heat have a lot of the next guys in a row, and that's part of what makes them really good. But that's looking like something that is foolish and doesn't matter, right? And we talk about that with the Pacers sometimes. That's how I'm going to bring this back, is like, okay, we're playing. They played the Heat. Jimmy Butler's the best player in the series, and Bam was probably second. How many of the next whatever do the Pacers have, blah, blah, blah. And it turned out that Dragic was the next best player, so it didn't matter anyway. But, you know, that doesn't matter. Sometimes when you have all these really good players, it doesn't matter if you don't have – and Jimmy Butler's been amazing, which is part of the reason the Heat are in the finals and have won a game almost two, is that, you know, they have that top-level guy. But I think you need one for sure of the top three and most likely of the top two. And if you're going to lean in on that depth part where you go, okay, we have seven in the next eight after the top guys, you have to have the third guy be really good or close to the top two. And Sabonis, being an all-star top 30, 25 player, whatever, he's not quite close enough, but he's good. If he makes some improvements, maybe he's right there, right, if he learns to shoot a little bit or can create off the bounce a little bit. Yeah, then he's right there all of a sudden, and even if he's not in the top two, you can lean in on the depth at that point. But right now the Pacers cannot apply that. And the Heat even – you know, Butler being close to AD and impact at this point, it's not typical, but he has been in the playoffs. Maybe it's more typical than I'm giving credit for. Anyway, it doesn't matter how much that depth that has. The top heaviness of the Lakers is really – and the role players are doing a great job, right? KCP had 15 points in the last game, some clutch buckets. But you know, there's a point where it doesn't matter when AD just hits a dagger three and the game is over. He dominated the first two games. So that's the first thing I'm going to talk about, just Bron and AD being amazing and leading the charge. But – a second thing I have on here is bigs are leading. Anthony Davis, I actually don't think he will win Finals MVP, not because he hasn't been the best player. I think he has 100% been the best player, but I just think LeBron is destined to win. Like, we got his people admittedly tweeting that they are a narrative-based NBA voter. I think that LeBron's narrative of winning this Finals in a tough year and being, you know, the best player on the team, even if AD's had the best series, I think he'll win no matter what. But AD has absolutely been the best player on the Lakers, and he hasn't played a ton. He's missed two games with injuries, so understandably not at his peak for game four. But Bam Adebayo has been defending really well for the Heat. His switching once again remains something huge, and it covers up for a lot of their issues with Tyler Hero's defense. So Bam has been really good, and maybe not the leader. Definitely not the leader. Jimmy Butler has been, but he's been so good, and Anthony Davis has been the leader for the Lakers. And those guys have unique skills, right? They're not typical big men, but it does, back to the Pacers again, make you think, okay, you know, you can have the big man be the leader of the team if he is good enough to do things for your team. And Sabonis, again, not that level of player, but you can have a big be carrying your team or be one of the better players on your roster and get really far. You just have to have the right good stuff around it. And obviously LeBron and Jimmy Butler are the right good stuff. But, you know, I think, and maybe I'm being a little too reductive here. In fact, I always am. But, you know, just looking at it from the lens of, like, the big man is dying in the NBA, that's not true. You know, the Warriors were just such an anomaly that made that the case. Big men are still important, especially if they're freakishly skilled. And Sabonis has some skills that are really good. But yeah, I've been really enjoying those guys going at each other. I know a lot of finals previews focused on the matchup between those two guys. And then all of a sudden the Lakers like, we're just going to put Anthony Davis on Jimmy Butler and win games. And it worked. It's been really good. Lakers role players have been stepping up. That's, you know, not necessarily the reason that they're up 3-1. But, you know, like I said already, getting 15 from KCP. Rondo shooting well from three in the playoffs, which is stupid. Like, why is Rondo good at shooting all of a sudden? Caruso, always been underrated as a defender. Outside of Danny Green, who plays good defense, but every one of his threes looks like it's going to miss the second he lets it go. A lot of the role players are playing pretty well. So getting a lot from those guys has been big for them, and kind of goes back to the first point. Like, maybe the Heat don't have the next six guys after the top two talent-wise in the series. And that's helped the Lakers pull this one away. And I originally picked Heat in six, but I'm going to say they win tonight and go Heat in five, and I was wrong with my original prediction for two reasons. One, they've looked a little better than against the Heat than I've given credit for, right? In game one, even with guys fully healthy for the first, you know, whatever, two and a half quarters, the Lakers were up big at the end of two and a half quarters. The Heat started off with a nice lead, but, you know, the Lakers took over. They looked like the superior team. And then the reason, though, really, that they're going to win in five is the injuries have just completely been killer for the Heat. And that just sucks in the finals, right? You do all you can all season to get here. Everything goes well for you. You dominate the playoffs, like I said. You beat the best team in the conference. You sweep your way through the first round. You're in the finals. And then Dragic and Bam get hurt and miss two games. And all of a sudden, you're playing Kendrick Nunn a ton of minutes. And Kendrick Nunn, this kind of relates to the Pacers. I didn't even write this down. Kendrick Nunn has been bad, and he might be hurting his trade value to the point that if there is a Depot trade with the Heat, it gets a little harder. But anyway, Kendrick Nunn's been bad. Hero's had to start. He hasn't looked as good as he has in prior series as well. And then at center, right, they have to lean more on Myers Leonard, which, yikes. And Kelly Olynyk, actually, Kelly Olynyk's playing very well, but leaning more on a rotation you're not used to inside is tough for the Heat, too. So as good as things looked for them, and I think this probably would be 2-2 if they were healthy the whole time, I think injuries, even if Dragic and Bam are both back, you know, right, they're still a little banged up and missed some games of conditioning and practices. I think the Lakers close it out tonight and win the series 4-1. But it's been a good finals. It's been fun and interesting, which is all I can really ask for. And hopefully we can cover one on the show someday. We'll see. But thank you guys so much for listening. We will continue next Monday, assuming there's no coaching hire this weekend, previewing free agency with the small four position, and we'll do some player season recaps next week, as well as, like this show today, right? We like to mix up the topics. Just flying through season recaps is boring. That would be just not fun podcasting. We need to mix up and have some variety of interesting topics. So we'll have our mix-in show then as well. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a great weekend, and we will see you soon.